Judges chapter number 13. Let's talk about Samson. In Judges chapter 13, look at verse number 1. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. Notice that did not say from birth. That said from the womb. And his mother was just commanded to follow all of the Nazarite vows herself. So, as an aside, before I get started, I'm just going to say that God hates abortion and that the child's life starts in the womb because Samson's mother was told to follow this Nazarite vow as well. The child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Notice those words as well. He shall begin to deliver Israel. He's going to start a job that he doesn't finish. Now, actually, I really want this sermon to be something about separation and something about our standards, and I'm hoping that we can learn a little bit about what it means to live a righteous and a holy, a separated and a sanctified life. And I'll be honest with you that I've preached this sermon before, and I preach this to a bunch of teenagers, and I'm really feeling today, you're right, Pastor, that this is the most difficult spot to preach in, and this is a tough spot for a young preacher to be in too, because I feel like I'm walking with the giants here. I'm the pinch hitter, and I'm at the end of the lineup, so I feel like the little kitten caught in a rainstorm. I just need to go find some place to hide, okay? And I really can't do that, but if you'll bear with me and pray for me. We're told to do two things. Some people tell you to preach from your strength. So I'm going to try to do that, and I'm going to focus these comments, hopefully, towards teenagers, young adults, that sort of thing. But they also tell you to preach from your weakness, and you'll never run out of material. And I'm going to tell you that some of the things that Samson struggles with in his life are some of the things that I've struggled with as well. So I'm going to try to do two things. I'm going to try to preach from my strength, areas where I've had some familiarity. I will preach from my weakness as well. Yeah. And what we really have to do is we have to cover about four chapters today, but that's all right. I checked the schedule, and the next thing on the schedule is supper at 5 o'clock, so I've got 2 hours. I told the pastor, we'll be on schedule before I'm done, I promise you. But the life of Samson is not a life of success. Because Samson begins to deliver the Israelites, and he doesn't complete the job. He was to be a Nazarite from birth. He, even his mother was to observe these Nazarite vows while she was carrying him in the womb. Now, if you don't remember what the rules of the Nazarites were, you can look those up. They're in Numbers chapter 6. Basically, they're this. No grapes. No wet grapes. No dry grapes. No grapes. You can't eat them. Nothing to do with grapes. That means no wine, no vinegar, no grape juice, nothing like that. Nothing that grows on vines. Samson can't have anything to do with anything that grows on vines. He also can't have any haircuts. That was another part of the vow of a Nazarite. No haircuts. He also had to be holy. He had to be separated and sanctified unto God, meaning that he could touch no unclean thing. Not only touch no unclean thing, but he could not touch anything that was dead. In fact, Samson couldn't bury a family member. No one that had taken a Nazarite vow could bury a family member. If you were walking down the road and one of your family members was beside of you and he fell over dead, you couldn't take that body and bury it. You had to have someone else do that for you because that was a dead body and you couldn't touch that. And if you did that, a normal Nazarite would then have to start that vow over and go through a long purification process and begin this vow again. even if he touched something unclean or touched a dead body by accident. But Samson was a unique case because Samson was a Nazarite from the womb. So he couldn't start that vow again. He was a Nazarite from the moment of conception. But Samson had a few problems. Let's look. Let's read through a rather long text starting in chapter 14, verse 1 of the book of Judges. Judges 14, 1. And let's look at some of Samson's weaknesses. And I'll title my sermon today, What's Wrong with the Boys at Church? What is wrong with the boys at church? And Samson went down, verse number 1, Samson went down to Timnath, and he saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now we have a problem right there, don't we?
Yeah.
He saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. What's he doing in the Philistine camp? And what's he doing looking at those girls over in Timnath? Then he sees this girl, he sees this woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines, and he came up and he told his father and his mother, and he said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Problem number one in Samson's life is lust. He sees this woman, and he's looking in a place where he's not supposed to be looking, and he decides, this is the girl for me, I've got to have her. And he goes and he tells his mom and dad about it. Good righteous parents that they are, look at verse number 3. Then his father and mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Mom and dad don't approve, do they? Mom and dad said, this is really not a good idea. Listen to Samson. Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. You know what that means? That's the same verse we read in the book of Judges so many other times. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. She looks good to me, Dad. I don't care what you say. I don't care what Mom and Dad say. She looks good to me. Get her for me to wife. Why is that a problem? Because the Philistines are forbidden people. God had already said, don't give your sons to their daughters, and don't give your daughters to their sons, and don't take their children for yours.
Amen.
But his father and mother in verse 4 knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. And there's a verse in Psalms that deals with that too. Psalm 76, I like this verse. Psalm 76, verse number 10, says, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. And God is going to use Samson's life, even though Samson does everything he can to mess it up. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, and he came to the vineyards, came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily on him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Now why do you suppose, teenager, that was? Why do you suppose he went down to Timnath and didn't tell Mom and Dad what he was doing? Two reasons. Number one, he's going to see this girl that Mom and Dad said, this is not a good idea. And number two, where was he when the lion came? In the vineyard. What was that Nazarite vow he took? Not supposed to have anything to do with anything that grows on vines, right? Now, why do you suppose he's not telling Mom and Dad? I know exactly why he's not talking to Mom and Dad. It gets worse. Verse 7, he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time, that's a year by the way, after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Now what's he doing? Going to check out this lion that he killed a year ago. Let's go see what I did a year ago. Let's go admire my great feats. Pride. So Samson has a lust problem. He's chasing this girl that he has no business chasing. And now he's going to see the results of his mighty act. He needs to be thankful that he was able to kill this lion that was trying to attack him and not going out to check it out a year later. And in verse 9, he took thereof in his hands, that's the honey in the carcass of the lion, and he took thereof in his hands and he went on eating and came to his father and mother and he gave them and they did eat, but he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Now let me ask the same question again. Why do you think he didn't tell his mom and dad that he took the honey out of the carcass of the lion? Nazirite vow number 2. Touch no unclean thing. Doesn't take a lot of thinking to figure out why he's not telling his parents. Can I make this application right up front? If you're not telling your mom and dad what you're doing, you're probably doing something wrong.
Amen.
So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, and you know the rest of the story. He puts forth this riddle to the people. And he says, if you can tell me this riddle, if you can declare me this riddle in the 7 days of the feast, then I'll give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And let's read what happens. In verse 15, it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Remember that. Lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him. That's a good way for a wet marriage to start, isn't it? Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother. Well, that's nothing new. I haven't told my mom and dad. I'm not going to tell my wife either. Okay, married people, if you're not telling your spouse, you're probably doing something wrong.
Amen. Yeah.
If I'm not telling my mom and dad, I'm not telling you either. That's just what he said. So she wept before him in verse 17. She wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. The first 7 days of their marriage was just perfect harmony. Isn't that a good way to start the honeymoon? So she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. It came to pass on the seventh day that he told her because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. Isn't that interesting? See what forbidden love gets you? Betrayal.
Amen.
Forbidden love leads to betrayal.
Amen.
The men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what's sweeter than honey and what's stronger than a lion? He said unto them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you had not found out my riddle. And what does Samson do next? Samson fulfills his promise, but instead of going and paying the debt out of his own treasures and out of his own savings account, is what we would say today, he goes over to the next town and he kills 30 people and he takes their clothes. And he takes their possession. And he pays the debt with what he steals from them. That's anger problem. That's a revenge problem. You know what we would call that today? We would call that grand larceny, and we would call that murder.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what Samson's problem was. And of course, in verse 15, Samson comes to his senses a little while later, and he goes back and he says, you know, I've really been hasty. So I'm going to go back and I guess I'll just go ahead and marry this girl anyway. And he goes back and he talks to her dad and guess what? Well, you know, we had a bride and we had a dress and we had the crowd gathered and we had a best man and you ran out from the altar and, well, the best man was single so the wedding went ahead and went forward. And we're sorry you got left out. So Samson gets really angry again. And in verse number 3 of chapter 15, Samson said concerning them, "Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure." And you know this story too. He goes and gets 300 foxes, he ties their tails together, lights them on fire, and sends them through the corn. And do you know what this is an attempt to do? It's an attempt to starve the Philistines, because he's burning their crops. It just gets better all the time, doesn't it? Samson's anger just gets the better of him all the time. And where did it start? It started all the way back at the beginning of chapter 14 when he said what? "I saw a woman among the daughters of the Philistines." And he set the brands on fire as he let them go through the standing corn of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, read this, in verse number 6, chapter 15, verse 6. The Philistines said, "Who hath done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion." That was the best man. And the Philistines came up, and what did they do? And they burnt her and her father with fire. Remember that threat that they made? Remember what happened? They said, "Now you go to your husband and you find out what this riddle is, or we're going to burn you with fire." And so she went and she betrayed her husband so that she wouldn't be burnt with fire. And look what happened in the end. She betrayed her husband, and she got the punishment anyway, because her husband's actions betrayed her. And false love always leads to betrayal for both parties involved. Every time, take it to the bank. Amen. There are no winners in forbidden love.
Amen.
And so, Samson decides to continue on this road. He tries to starve the Philistines by burning their crops. The Philistines come and, well, they try to catch him. So he flees back to his own country. The Philistines come and they pitch their tents in Judah. And the men of Judah recognize that Samson's really making things rough for them. And in verse 11, then 3,000 men of Judah, by the way, that's Samson's own people. That's his own countrymen. 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Edom, that's where he's hiding out, and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us?" I thought Samson was the judge. I thought he was the ruler. "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And see, he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them." Mom, he crossed the line. He hit me first. Well, she kicked my toe, so I kicked her shin. Then she hit my arm, so I poked his nose. Well, that's what happened. I looked at this girl. Mom and Dad said no, but I went down there anyway. So I put forth a riddle. They solved my riddle. So I got angry about it, and I killed some of their people. Well, they gave away my wife. So I burnt their corn. So they came to threaten me. Isn't that what happened?
Yeah.
He hit me first.
Amen.
Samson, grow up.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 29. A very wise man, Solomon, said this, "Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work." But what is Samson's excuse? "As they did to me, so have I done unto them." Not very smart, Samson. Story gets worse. Chapter 16. You would think, as a result of, "I have seen a girl, I have saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines," you would think, after all of this episode, Samson would learn his lesson. Chapter 16, verse 1, "Then went Samson to Gaza, And he saw there an harlot and went in unto her. Still has that lust problem, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And what happens this time? He stays there till midnight. She turns him in. The city lies in wait. They come to take him away. And of course, you know, he breaks out. He carries the city gates off to the top of Mount Hebron. Once again, lust. Once again, betrayal. Once again, a narrow escape. And Samson still doesn't learn. Because in chapter 16, verse number 4, it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. That's in the Philistine camp once again. He loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. What's Samson's problem? His first problem is he's angry at those who solved his riddle. He's angry at his wife's father for giving her to another. His anger problem. His anger leads to revenge. He gets angry over and over and over again. He has a lust problem. He sees this girl in Timnath. He sees this harlot in a little place called Gaza. He sees this girl named Delilah. And every time he sees a girl, every time he sees a woman, he has a lust problem, doesn't he? He has a disobedience problem. Because it all started back with the first time he saw this girl. Mom and Dad said, "This is really a bad idea, Samson. This is forbidden." So he disobeyed his parents. He not only disobeyed his parents, he disobeyed God. Because God had already said, these are forbidden nations, don't have anything to do with them. He disobeyed Scripture because God had already written it down and said, don't have anything to do with these peoples. That was already given to them in the law. He disobeys his parents. He disobeys God. He disobeys Scripture. He doesn't trust God after he takes the jawbone of an ass and he slays 10,000 of them. And he breaks every one of his Nazarite vows. So what's wrong with the boys at church? Anger, pride, lust, disobedience. I preached this sermon once before and I asked the question, why are the boys at church all jerks? Well, do these problems fit? I actually had a parent come up to me. I preached this in a teen meeting once. Okay? And I had a parent come up to me and said, "You called my little boy up." I did not. But if you just came up here and got really concerned about it, you confirmed everything I thought. You know? Well, don't you think it's a little harsh to call him a jerk? No? Well, I don't think Jesus would. You're right. Jesus called people vipers. And I mean, he used lots worse things than that, right? Mm-hmm. He called people liars and vipers and hypocrites. And if you have an anger problem and a lust problem, and if you're disobedient to your parents, if you can't tell your parents or your spouse what you're up to,
Amen.
It fits. Now, I've been picking on the boys quite a bit. Girls, if this fits, leave him alone.
Amen.
Okay? Just leave him alone. But the girls aren't exempt. Okay? And I know we've picked on the boys. But Samson's problems were directly caused by some of the girls in his life. Now, we've looked at chapter 14 and 15, chapter 16. But in chapter 16, Samson merely becomes a willing participant and the girls take over. Let's look. You're very familiar with this story. In chapter number 16, Samson finds this girl named Delilah, and he loves this woman. Verse number 6, Delilah says to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." And Samson said unto her, "If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man." And of course, you know, Delilah has already conspired with the lords of the Philistines. The lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried. And she bound him. She's the one taking the action now. Okay, he told her, not real smart, Samson. She bound him with them. And there were men lying in wait. And of course she wakes him up and they were all broken at once like a thread in a fire. And she accuses him of lying to her. And she asks him again and he says, "Well, bind me with 2 new ropes that were never used." So she goes and she gets these 2 new ropes. And in verse number 12, Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him. Delilah bound him therewith. And there were liars in wait, and he comes to, and these new ropes are broken. And once again, she pleads with him, and he says, "Well, you know, if you'll weave my hair..." Ooh! Getting close now, isn't he? He's telling this far-fetched story that really has nothing to do with the real truth. And now he's getting really close to telling her the truth. Notice how the truth comes in parts. "If you'll weave my hair into the beam of the loom." And in verse 14, "She fastened it with the pin and said unto him, 'The Philistines are upon thee.'" And what does he do? He literally carries off the loom that is fastened to the wall. He breaks the wall out of the house and carries it off with him. Verse 15 gets interesting here. "And she said unto him, 'How canst thou say, I love thee, when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth.'" You know what? 3 times, she's trying to find out his weakness. And when someone's trying to find out your weakness, teenager, you can just tell them you're on a need-to-know basis and you don't need to know. You don't have to make up stories like Samson did. You can just tell them, it's none of your business. You just don't need to know that. And this is really interesting. In verse 15, she says unto him, "How canst thou say, I love thee?" You know what? And I don't want to say anything here that I shouldn't, but I want to be really practical here, okay? We often hear what's said on Friday nights and Saturday nights, and usually it's the guy putting pressure on the girl. "If you really loved me, you would..." Just fill in the blank, okay? That's what this says. That's not new today. That's not something new that started in the 60s or the 70s. That's in your Bible. Because that's what that literally means. If you really loved me, you would do whatever. You'd tell me what I wanted to know. And by the way, back in verse number 14, or in chapter 14, that's the same thing that Samson's wife said. "Thou dost behate me and lovest me not. If you really loved me, you'd tell me your riddle." Oh, by the way, who was it saying that? It was the girls, not the guys. The girls have taken over. And she is piecemeal trying to find out his weakness. And teenager, I just want to tell you this. If someone's trying to find your weakness, don't tell them. It's none of their business. And if they ever discover it by accident, they better never come close to it again. And if they ever do, run!
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thou hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And when it came to pass, when she pressed him daily, run! She pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. Day after day after day, she pressed upon him, and his defenses broke down. And he told her all his heart, and he said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. He knew where his strength was. He didn't do this by accident. He didn't do this out of ignorance. A Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me. I shall become weak like any other man. Verse 18. She sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once. He hath showed me all his heart. Verse 19. She made him sleep on her knees. She called for a man. She caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him. And his strength went from him. Why was that? Because that was the last vow. When his hair was cut, that was the last broken vow of the Nazarite. She said, the Philistines be upon him, and he awoke out of his sleep. And he wist not, at the end of the verse, that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, and they put out his eyes. And Samson didn't have a lust problem anymore. And they bound him with fetters of brass. And he didn't have a pride problem anymore. And he did grind in the prison house. He didn't have a disobedience problem anymore.
Amen.
He lost his sight. He worked as a slave. He brought shame to God. Brought shame to his country. He was publicly humiliated. You know, we often see these pictures of Samson with this big, you know, grist mill and this, you know, big bar that he's pushing around, you know, kind of like you'd see strapped up to a horse or a donkey or something like that. And the Bible says he did grind in the prison house. And they didn't have that inside the prison house. You know what they had? They had a high school chemistry class. They had a little mortar and a pestle. And he sat down all day with his legs crossed, bound with a brass chain and a fetter, with a bowl in his lap, like this, grinding corn all day. He couldn't see anything, just grinding corn all day long. And you know what? I think God got his attention.
Yeah.
Samson still didn't get the message. Look at the end of the story. You know how it ends, right? The Philistines throw this big celebration, and they decide to bring in the judge from Israel and from Judah so they can mock him in the house of Dagon, their god. And the house was full of men and women. And the Philistines were in there, and of course, Samson's being led in by this little schoolboy. And he asks if he can be put between the pillars that hold up the building. In verse 28, Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once, what's that word, avenged of the Philistines for my eyes. Not I'm sorry. Not I've made a mess of things. Not is there some way you can still use me. Not can you fix this thing. Lord, I want revenge for my eyesight. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which was borne up, one with his right, the other with his left hand. And Samson said this in verse 30, let me die with the Philistines. And the Hebrew there literally says, let my soul die with the Philistines. He never got over his anger problem. Samson's prayer here is selfish. But God is not going to allow anyone to challenge his sovereignty as the Philistines were going to do. Dagon was broken when the Ark of the Covenant was taken into this temple. And he's not going to let the Philistines take the judge of Israel in there and mock his nation. So God uses Samson and he uses his life, even though Samson has done everything possible to make a mess out of it. And I know that Samson's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 as one of the faithful. You know what? Samson didn't lose his salvation. We're going to see him in heaven. But we go all the way back to chapter 13. Samson began to deliver Israel. He never finished. What could God have done with his life if he would have been holy and separated, and if he would have done what he was supposed to do? And all the time I remember this. His parents tried to get in his way. His parents threw hurdle after hurdle, roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, saying, Samson, this is not a good idea. And instead of him responding to his parents, he withdrew. And he just said, I'm not going to talk to Mom and Dad anymore. Mom and Dad just don't matter. I just won't talk to them. Because he tells not his Mom and Dad what he had done. And Samson made a real mess of things. When he could have been so much more, he could have been used so much better. And I pray that if you're here today and you have one of these problems, that you would not let your life go down that road. You'll respond to God. You'll respond to the Scriptures. You'll respond to your parents. Your parents aren't here. Your parents aren't in your life trying to kill your joy and trying to kill your fun. They're trying to get in your way so you don't make a mess out of your life like Samson did. Amen. It takes a lot of us a long time to learn that. Amen. Brother Jerry.
Amen. Amen, brother. Good. Amen.